Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship you'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that. Like, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
What's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, welcome back. You good?
I'm shook. Shook is what I am. Do you want me to tell the whole? You've opened the door, buddy. Here it comes. So I walk around during the breaks, and you know we don't have the biggest office, the biggest floor, but you know, and I could go out. I have a way to get in and out, but I do laps around our offices during the breaks. And a part of that is there's a large conference room with, I don't know, 15, 16 chairs around it, big table. We have meetings in there sometimes. And that's like the end of my loop. I loop through that room or walk around the table and then come back here. And I got in the habit when I was doing this in the winter of tucking the chairs into the table. In part because I'm a lunatic and I like to have everything look symmetrical, and so I want the chairs to be look. But it's also to protect myself at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday in the winter. It's dark in there, and if I go walking through there, it's pitch dark. The shades are closed. I'm going to trip and fall on a chair that's askew. So
terrible.
I've gotten in the habit of tucking the chairs in. So I don't know. 45 minutes ago, I took this walk. And I went through that room, and I didn't have to tuck any chairs in, and it's not as big an issue now because it's light out until we're off the air.
You can see your way around.
I can see my way around if there's something in my way. But everything was neat. Like, all the chairs were tucked in. It was fine. I didn't have to move anything, and I just walked through and came back. And then just now, at, you know, whatever, 4:58 or whenever we went to break, I got up and walked around, did the same loop, and there were, like, 10 chairs as askew in there as I've ever seen. Like, somebody was sitting and just pushed the chair as far and as hard as they could away from the table and left the room. 10 different people did this in that room. And there are, what, 8 people here right now?
I'm not sure there are that many.
I mean, you got us
three. There are 4 of us.
There's Puckett's out there. There's Brayton out there. A couple of other dudes. Producer for Bowerly's show. There's definitely 10. Less than 10.
Okay.
What happened between like 4:15 and 5 o'clock? Like, did everyone show up for a meeting and just wreck the room? I mean, wreck the room's a little strong. And then just leave?
On a Friday, I doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sunny. Well, I just have no idea. I feel like someone who knows that I do that with the chairs is messing with me. But there's nobody here. There are a couple of women who work down at that end of the building that I have confided in them that I have a thing about the chair. I tuck the chair. I want the chairs to look nice. And they kid me about it when they see me. They're not here every day. But when they see me, they smile and laugh and like, there he goes to fix his chairs or whatever. Yeah, Allie.
Samantha?
Yes. And so they're not here.
No.
No one's here. Like, I could see Allie wanting to mess with me that way.
Really?
Yeah.
She doesn't seem that type to me.
She makes fun of me
but sometimes,
in a fun, good-natured way about this, that I take this walk and that I have this chair thing.
Well, you may know her better than I do, but sometimes people have that and you don't know it, that sort of capacity.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she were here. I would have thought, why did you do that to the chair? I would have immediately accused her of messing with the chairs. Uh-huh.
You sort of want to right now anyway, even though she's not, haven't seen her.
Right. I don't understand. Like, what happened to those chairs? Who moved those chairs? Who was in there? I mean,
there's really no chance there was a meeting.
No. If everyone who's here in the building right now went down there, including us, and left the chairs like that, that's the only explanation I have. And I know we didn't do that. I don't believe any of the people that are working in the newsroom went and did that. What the hell happened?
I don't know. What would make the most sense?
It wasn't just one chair either. It literally was like 10 chairs were just all over the place in there. I mean, as far away from the table as the walls would allow them to be is where the chairs were. And I just... I stood in the doorway like, how? Why?
You'd been there an hour ago.
Not even an hour ago.
And then you went back.
Yeah. And there's no one here. I'm
ghosts.
I am shook by this. Honest to God, I do not understand what just happened.
What would be the likeliest scenario? Something happened.
Yeah.
There was no meeting. There's no way the big shots are coming in to have a meeting, and they're all, they wouldn't even do that anyway. I think feel like most of the people we work for would put the chairs back, you know, like you're taught to do.
I can tell you that that does not happen.
Okay, maybe not. They're not in the building.
Yeah, and
so that's out.
And this was way more aggressive than it, you know, normally, you know, there'd be like a chair or two that might be in my way that I could trip on if it were dark and I got to tuck it in. Mm-hmm. This again was like 10 of the chairs were just. Like, what's even happening?
I don't know.
It would not have been, given the state of the room, it would not have been surprising to see one of the chairs on the table. Literally, that's how messed up the room was.
You know, I hadn't thought of that one.
So I just don't have any idea what could have happened.
I should have thought of that one.
Did you go down there during a break and move the chairs?
I've been doing it every day. And last week, right, Zach? One day, I talked about it.
Wait, this is real.
The audience knows.
Oh, you guys are the best.
I was so worried I missed your live reaction when I had to do my update. I was very nervous I missed your live reaction.
I couldn't look at you. I was staring at my phone when you were telling me what happened.
I walked in and stood at the door. Like, I didn't even sit down. I couldn't even get in the room. I'm just like, how many people are... I'm yelling. How many people are in here right now? 8 of us?
Since you haven't said anything, like it's just for me, just also getting up and walking around. But I try to put the chairs in and spread them out in a certain way that makes it impossible to understand. Like the chairs are touching each other face to face or back to back, all the way in the corner.
Yes.
I put one that's like facing right down at the garbage can. So you'd be like sitting right up on top of the garbage can?
Well,
I don't know.
Good job.
I don't know.
You did a good job.
Finally.
You shook me.
Finally. Finally a payoff.
Were you? What? So you have been doing this for how long?
Shortly after the time you told me that the thing, like that you go down there and
fix the chairs. I don't trip on them?
Yes. Since shortly after that. Not every day, but every other day.
Were you doing this when it was dark out still?
I don't know. It was whenever you said that.
Because I never had any.
What was that, like 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Since then.
Wow.
And I do think, like, it hasn't come up yet. Is there a way I can make it even more ridiculous where the chairs, like, I haven't gone as far as to stack them or put them on the table.
Right.
Because I really don't want a problem.
Right. Well, but today was the first. They have been askew, and the room has looked different other days when I've gone down there after having been in there already, when I don't think anyone's here. But I guess I'm not sure. You know, they could have been in a different conference room having a meeting with the door closed, and they, for some reason, went in that room because they needed the TV in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I've never really given it a thought, and it's never been askew enough
for me to react
the way I reacted. You finally got me to where I was like, how could this have happened?
I love the one where, like I did, the first one, if you go right to around, you know, around the table from right to left, the first change I made is to have the chairs, like the front of the chair just touching the other one. Like if people were sitting in those chairs in that configuration, they'd be on top of each other.
Right. Like holding hands and doing some sort of a trust exercise or something. Yeah, right?
Something sexual. Like it would be the old, why would two chairs be positioned like that ever? Because it would never happen if you just got up and left. It would never end up where the chairs are literally touching front to front.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you had a thing about that one that's a different kind of chair.
Oh, yeah.
So I always make sure to move one of those.
Yeah.
Leather one.
Okay, yeah.
That's all over now. I mean, that's it.
That has been...
It's worth it.
What I've... Prior to today, when... Because the chairs... there are three kinds of chairs in the room.
Is that right?
There are.
I should know that by now. You'd think I would know that by now.
One set of them are exactly the same chairs that we're sitting in right now. Mm-hmm. Then there's chairs that have the same seat and back as we're sitting in, but have different arms, longer sort of curved arms. Then there are chairs that have those same curved arms, but different backs and seats, like full leather or whatever, vinyl, what I don't know, whatever it is, coverings. Hmm. And I told Allie this when I first brought it up to her. Eventually, I confided in her that I'm stopping short of looking in the other conference room to see if there's enough chairs to make all the ones in the room I walk through the same.
Swap them out.
So what I've done is I have all of the kind of chairs. The one kind of chairs are on one side of the table. The other kind of chairs are on the other side of the table. That all matches because I'm insane and that works for me. The ends of the table, anything goes. I don't really care.
Right. Okay.
So when
you've made that change.
When I see one of the chairs like we're sitting in on the other side of the table, I think, is there someone who wants that always sits over there that wants this chair that I'm annoying?
Yeah.
By moving it and forcing them to sit in this.
Well, they probably
yes. It turns out it's just you the whole time.
Probably yes. No, there could be somebody who wants to sit in a certain chair, and they probably all sit in the same seats in those meetings.
You've had a months-long gag running. I went to Puerto Rico and come home, and finally you get
it. I don't even remember why I brought it up. I didn't have like a thought to bring it up. It was right at the beginning of a show one day last week. And do you remember why? I don't remember even why I said
it. You were missing me, that's why.
Something.
Couldn't have been that.
It just sort of came out. Like I felt like I was probably ruining it. By announcing it.
Nobody said a word to me. Yeah.
Great for me. But thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. or instead, maybe we're just so into each other that nobody would spoil it. Maybe let's say it was that.
Yeah,
and that nobody was listening.
That was it. Yeah, that had to be it.
Even nobody at work said anything to me.
Right.
I don't know. That could be a bad sign. I mean, the key still works, but I don't know.
I got you. Yeah.
Could be ending soon for me.
Oh, man. And I'm over here accusing poor Allie.
Well, not really. I mean, you didn't think it was her. You just didn't have a better idea.
I didn't have a better idea. Like, I guess I forgot that I told you I have this thing about such detail about the chairs.
I could have given you the weekend on this.
Yeah, you definitely could have. You probably should have.
Somebody then maybe tells you. Maybe then somebody tells you.
Yeah, if I'm out tomorrow or something, maybe somebody says like, hey, you know, I heard you on Friday talking about the chairs. You know, it was Mike.
Should I have done that instead? Should I have just let it hang, until somebody else told him it was me? I don't know. I couldn't have.
I did. I'm trying to remember how long I let this run. We rented a car while we were in Puerto Rico, and it was a Hyundai Santa Fe, which is the same car you drive, but I guess it was a newer model because it doesn't look anything like your car. I described it to my kids because we were picking them up at the airport. I'm like, I'm going to be driving a car that looks like it was built in Minecraft, is how I would say it. And I like the car. I like the design of the car, but it's all sort of square.
Yeah.
It's just a lot, and it's very attractive, and it's super comfortable. We all fit. We're huge, and we all fit in there. It was great. I noticed, in fact, I think it was when the kids were flying in and I wanted to tell them what kind of car we were in. And I was in the car. I wasn't driving at the moment. And I was in the driver's seat of the car and I'm looking around the car for some sign of what, like, tell me what you are, car, right? Usually a car has some insignia, the make or model on the dashboard somewhere. This car had no markings inside it at all to tell you what it was.
Okay.
So I noticed that, and then Owen was driving. The day we went and played golf, I had a few beers, and he didn't, so he drove us back from the golf course. And we're sitting at a red light, and I said to him, take a look at your field of vision here for a second, and tell me if you notice anything peculiar about this car. And I said, it has nothing to do with its operational functionality or safety or anything at all. It's aesthetic. Just tell me if you notice anything that seems odd about this car. And he sat there and he looked around, and then the light turned green. He started going and he's like, this is driving me crazy. Like, what could it be? What is it? And I think I let him, like, through the night. I think it wasn't until hours later I said, there's no insignia that tells you what make or model car it is inside the car. Like, even when you start it up, it doesn't say, like, Hyundai, nothing. There was no, oh, that was kind of strange. Like, cars usually want you to know what you're driving.
Hmm.
So I had a little thing like that with him where I was able to.
You let him hang.
I let him hang for a bit. But
did you put all the chairs back?
Oh, yeah, the chairs were all back. I couldn't.
Of course.
I couldn't. Well, I can't live.
Of course.
Like,
well, thank you. I should thank you for that. Because now I have no chance that on, like, Monday morning, somebody finally, that's enough. Enough with the chairs. They're all over the room. What happened in here? Then they get, like, the building people involved, and maybe there's cameras, and I guess I should be lucky that that hasn't happened yet, as far as I know. Who's coming in here at night and moving all the chairs around? Like, that might be a thing you could ask. But
I love that this has been going on for months without me realizing it. It was never dramatic enough for me to notice like I did just now.
It only worked because you went down there twice.
That's right.
And I went in between
right.
and moved everything around. And when I come out of that room, I sort of jerk my head to the right to see if you're going to see me.
Right.
Like, what's my story? If we went down on the same break
mm-hmm.
and you see me come out of that room, like, what are you doing? What's this?
Yeah.
You
never come
you,
down here.
You never come down here. Okay.
That was a good, very good gag.
All right.
Full marks to you. Good job.
I got the payoff.
You
on
did.
A Friday. Perfect. Perfect little payoff.
He really did. Because I was.
No guest in the way?
I was aghast when I walked back in the room.
Aghast.
I just, like, how could this happen?
I was happy with the garbage can one. I don't know. Right up against the wall. A chair just, like, pinned against the wall with a garbage can in front of it. Maybe somebody had to throw up or something.
I'm not, I got to tell you,
scenario.
I'm not even sure I noticed it.
Okay.
That's how shook I was when I walked in the room. Like, there was enough going on in my field of vision immediately that I probably, by the time I got to the garbage can chair, I just straightened it out and didn't even think about how it was positioned.
You were already wondering how.
Right. And I also was, I got down, you know, it was a shorter break. I was worried about getting back. I was going to leave the chairs. I thought, I can't leave the chairs.
I also would do a back-to-back one that I like.
I need to fix the
chairs.
I did
a back-to-back one. Why would that be? Why would there be back-to-back?
Right.
Anyway, so much for that. That is ended. That chapter has been closed.
Wow.
Paul Hamilton after sports on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres have been off since Tuesday, going back to that night and their win in Ottawa on a bit of a roll here in the last half dozen games or so, even though, Bulldog, they're getting buried in the expected stuff these games. Ironically.
Right. They're not
Reimer game. There's a Reimer game or two.
Yeah, and they're not playing great, but they're getting good results. Yeah. It seems. Yeah.
I guess that's okay.
Whatever.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Paul, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. What do you think about these games of late, including the game in Ottawa, which, I mean, they had the lead throughout, but maybe not their best performance. Still a win.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They've been able to win at times when they don't have their best performance, which is what better teams do. And so that was a positive for them. And, they seem to get over the bad games pretty quickly. It doesn't turn into 13 games or 10 games or, they had a stinker in Detroit. They had a stinker in Philadelphia and played better, in mm-hmm. one games right afterwards. So, that's something that they're learning to do is, all right, we lost. We didn't play well. Put it away. Let's go get one.
I apologize to both you, Paul, and our audience, and I guess Mike as well, too, if this is repetitive, because I know the run of Reimer playing like 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6, whatever it is now, started while I was away. So you guys have probably talked some about it already, maybe even a lot about it already. But what do you make, Paul, of them favoring Reimer over Luukkonen? It's not like they're striving for a playoff spot. And I might guess you want to get Luukkonen in a better headspace before the season ends, but then you've got the rest of the team maybe to consider. I don't know. Just what do you make of the choices that they've been making with Reimer carrying the load here?
Yeah, I don't get it, really. I've thought about it a lot. I just don't see a team in this situation. What are you doing with a 37-year-old goaltender that you're riding? I know he's earned it and all the mm-hmm. rest of that. And if the Sabres were in a position right now of trying to make the playoffs and we're 4 points out, yeah, Reimer should start every game. He gives them the best chance to win. I said, all right, so what are you doing? I think Luukkonen should play as much as he can to try to find what he had last year on a consistent basis. And the only thing I can figure out is, Lindy Ruff also is doing something a little bit different. It's like trying to teach these guys. I the way I put it to him is, are you trying to teach these guys how to win? Learn how to win. And he said, I look at it a little bit differently. I'm trying to teach these guys how not to lose. I think maybe that's why Reimer is in there. Teaching them how to put games away, mm-hmm. and maybe if you don't have your best game, your goaltender helps you out and plays. And, Reimer playing the way he's been playing certainly has given the team confidence mm-hmm. that they can win hockey games. They're not that game in Washington the other day, they would have lost that game 100 times out of 100 earlier in the year because all of a sudden the Caps came roaring back. In their building, Ovechkin scores. The place, they blow the roof off. The place just goes crazy. And then they get another one to make it 6-5. And they thought Ovechkin had scored that, but it wound up being tipped by Dubois. But still,
mm-hmm.
the place was just absolutely bonkers. And it's the number one team in the league that you're playing in their building. And it's now it's 6-5. They would have lost that game every single time. And they responded. They came back and they scored a goal to quiet the crowd and put the game away. And that's not, that's what they've been doing more of lately. And I think, Reimer has been giving them, a lot of confidence. And now they didn't sit there and sit back mm-hmm. and say, here they come. Oh no. That type of a thing. They just kept going forward and playing like they played earlier. They got the goal that they needed, and they wound up winning the hockey game.
Yeah. What do you think the plan will be moving into the summer and into next season, Paul? I mean, Luukkonen's only in year one of a lucrative contract. I don't think it's warranted at all, despite his struggles, to say, like, okay, we're done here. I mean, they're pot committed on him at this point. So I would think they'd want to give him every opportunity. But you've got Levi, and there's a scenario where he could show up in the fall or late summer and win the job. And then Luukkonen is here, and I have no problem with that. The question is really, what do you do as insurance for that? Like, is there another version of Reimer out there that you can waive if you have to because Levi and Luukkonen are going to be your NHL goalies? Maybe that goalie is actually Reimer at age 38 instead of 37. I don't know. I just wonder what they're going to do about the position. They've also got two guys that are graduating out of junior hockey, one from Europe and one from Western Canada, that are going to be Rochester-bound or maybe ECHL-bound, I suppose. They're turning pro. That's the point. They'll be available to play in Rochester if they want. So it's getting maybe kind of crowded, and nobody knows who the best guy is.
Yeah, they thought they did at the end of last year after, you know, the 35 games he played and where his numbers are right at the top of the league. They thought they had Luukkonen. And really, the contract is long-term, but it's only like $4.75 million.
Right.
You know, it's not a huge amount of money. As far as that goes. But now it's all, you're right, what do you do with this? You still, Levi has not proven he can play in the National Hockey League. They handed him the job twice. He wasn't able to grab it either time. Every time he comes up, he looks awful. And it's just like, all right, now does what he's doing, which now is the proper development in my mind. You know, what he's done at the end of last year and this year was the way it should have gone a long time ago. And you were talking about that
before
a long
he signed
time
even.
Ago.
Yeah, right.
A long time
Two
ago.
2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And, all right, now they've done that. But can he now bring it to the National Hockey League? Here we are with the ifs again. Can Luukkonen become the goaltender he was at the end of last year? Here we are with the ifs again. So, yeah, they've got – they have to have a plan B, and maybe it is Reimer. Reimer loves it here. He loves playing on this team, I think he'd be very willing to come back. So maybe you do bring him back, and if both those goaltenders come to training camp and show what they're capable of showing, and you got to waive them,
well, so be it. Right.
Then you waive them, and you know, so be it, and you move on. But you're right. It's very, very iffy right now. And I don't know what you do, but I don't think the answer is giving up on one of them either.
No, definitely not, in my opinion. As tough a season as Luukkonen has had, you know, I don't know if he needs to, like, reapply, like, off-season training or what. Like, I have no idea what's going on with him, but I just know he's looked sort of out of sorts. And it's not even just the goals. It's, like, just positionally, he's just kind of all over the place. And that is kind of alarming.
It's a confidence problem. And when your goalie loses his confidence, you know, you're seeing what happens. I just don't think he's confident in the net right now.
Paul Hamilton with us. Noah Ostlund? Ostlund?
Yes.
Ostlund. We'll start with that. We'll
All
start
right.
there. on a bit of a tear in Rochester, and looks like he'll make his debut tomorrow.
Yeah, here's a guy who got hurt earlier. He had hand surgery, so he had missed some games. I think it's 21 games, if I remember correctly. And with Kozak possibly out for the rest of the NHL season, he's a hip strain. Lindy Ruff just said, look, we're running out of time here. He doesn't want to say out for the season because it sounds like he might be ready just about the time the season ends, but that would make him ready for the American Hockey League playoffs, which you would want him to play in. So Ostlund is getting his opportunity basically because he has just really gone crazy in the American Hockey League. I mean, this kid in March had 14 points in 11 games and was Rookie of the Month. And really, it seems like he scores every game now. Every time I'm watching the highlights down there, it seems like he's in the middle of everything and really has taken off. And you don't have to worry about his two-way game. Even in the preseason games he played in this year, he was always around the puck. It just seemed like he was always there. You talk about getting the puck back when you don't have it. This guy does that in spades. I mean, he really – and he said one of the reasons he stayed in Sweden for 2 years, and he had told any team that drafted him he was going to do that, was so he could learn the defensive game in playing pro hockey and learning the defensive game. He said in the Swedish Hockey League, it's a very defensive league, and you learn that there, and he wanted to do that. So he kind of came with a little bit of knowledge with that, but still had to figure out the pro game in the American Hockey League. And I thought he did it pretty quickly, especially, you know, since he was sidelined for all those games because of, you know, having to have surgery on his hand, which is 100% now. But he really, as you talk about a player that has improved during a season, Noah Austlin definitely has done that.
He was the same draft as Kulik, right? And he was even an earlier pick, I think, than Kulik. Not that it matters at this point. I mean, they're 3 years removed from their draft year. So, you know, development isn't always linear. But, for, you know, for what it's worth, as a prospect, he was thought of, you know, highly enough to be drafted ahead of Kulik. And we've all seen how Kulik looks. So that's nice. Was there also a third first-round pick this year?
Yes, boy. Savoy.
Oh, Savoy. Okay, right. So he's gone.
Yeah,
I was thinking it was Wahlberg, but he was the year after, I think. So anyway.
Wahlberg's a second-round pick.
Right, right.
Austlin, like very early in the second round. Austlin was part of the Eichel trade. Kulik was part of the Reinhardt trade. And then Savoy was Buffalo's pick, the one that they used with their pick.
Nice.
So they had the three first-round picks in that draft.
Tough on Kozak. I know you like him. Is he? How do you think the Sabres see him for next season?
Exactly the way we saw him playing, and you know, with Malenstein, and I don't know if it's Lafferty or somebody else, but that's a perfect role for him.
Full time.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But that's something, you know, you could see that. I could see that watching him in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals against Malenstein and the Hershey Bears, and Malenstein played against him and remembered playing against him, you know, in that series. And you know, he just does anything to win a hockey game. And you could just tell then that I thought to myself, well, how did that guy last that long in the draft? And it was because he was injured his draft year. He hardly played. Yeah, I definitely – it's something you could see down the road, and it's really – he's developed into it, and I definitely see him in that role.
Just to button everything up, did we hear that Norris skated on his own today?
Norris skated on his own. Lindy says, look, it, we hope that, you know, that it's not done for the year. He goes, we want to get both he and Greenway back before the year's over. They're both progressing. Norris skated today, and he said, we're still trying to get them both back in.
All right. And what about Greenway, by the way, for this? Is he going to be back?
That's he said both of them.
Oh, okay.
They're hoping to get them both back in. He didn't say Greenway was skating. He said Norris was. But he hasn't given up on getting either player back into the lineup before the season ends.
Very good. Sorry if I missed you saying that. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thank you, Paul.
No problem.
There you go. That's Paul, and his appearances are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, Relax, we got this.
We'll talk some more after a short break. A recent, fairly recent, very high draft pick has signed with a new team. Free agent. See if you can guess who it is. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. Trey Lance, third overall pick a few years back by the 49ers. Later traded to Dallas, didn't really get much time with Dallas, played week 18, was not re-signed, signs with the Chargers. Maybe you out there are still holding on to Trey Lance in your Dynasty League, hoping.
Mm.
I was heavily invested. I think I'm all the way out at this point.
That's what I would recommend.
Being all the way out.
Getting all the way out on that. Yeah, that doesn't seem likely to work. But you know, who knows? You know, guys have – we've seen a few recent examples. Darnold last year, Geno Smith prior to him. Both
Baker.
Former Jets guys. Baker, of course, yeah. Although I don't think any of those three players were ever as far in the weeds as Lance. Like, Lance has just never really even gotten the chance. with any of the teams he's been on. Whereas those guys, at least, like, you know, Geno Smith was the starter. Darnold was the starter. Baker, same thing. Like, they kind of flamed out and then resurrected. I don't know. There hasn't been a flicker with Lance. You know, like, he barely played in college and got drafted third, and then now has barely played. Like, so you go back to his college season. What has he played? Like 400 snaps in 6 years or something? Like, it's got to be hardly nothing.
Yeah, right. Well, and he's behind Herbert, who has been very durable and, of course, is good in first place. So we'll see what kind of chance he gets there. We haven't talked about the draft at all. So let's do it here. I've seen a couple of mock drafts today with Emmanuel mocked the Bills at 30. Would they do it? With the corner need, mm-hmm. with defensive tackle, would they do it? I mean, you could imagine they could like the player as much as anybody, the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Would they do it? Would somebody have to be picked? Would it have to be like Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan, and the corners?
I wonder. I wonder how it would have to happen. It almost, well, this is this draft, we did talk a bit about this earlier, how flat it is in there, and I mentioned how I heard Greg Cosell, and I also heard him talking about Emmanuel, and Steve asked him flat out, like, do you see any way, recognizing that you see him mocked to the Bills, you know, regularly enough to make it a talking point, Steve asked, like, this guy's athletic profile, do you think there's any way he lasts that long? And Greg was like, I don't at all. Like, he can do it all. He's not mm-hmm. one of these guys that's just a freaky athlete and you got to worry about whether you can find a position for him. Like, Cosell's like, anything you want. You want to play too deep? You want to play on the post? You want to play on the slot, in the slot? You want to have him be a big nickel? Bring him up into the box on anything you want. He is capable of doing it. And the tape shows that. I trust Greg Cosell a lot. I'm sure he, you know, gets stuff wrong just like anyone can in that field. But I'd be stunned if he lasts that long. But if he does, I think I'd be mad if the Bills didn't pick him. It's my favorite idea and has been since we started. I don't like clinging to it because I just don't think it's that realistic for a variety of reasons, maybe chief among them now being that he won't last that long. But they definitely have needs that are more urgent than another safety. But, man, I would love to see that dude on the Bills.
I don't have an argument here. My version of that is Emeka Buka from Ohio State, wide receiver. Our chat with Sam Panayotovich on the Final Four and more coming up next here on WGR.